is like shooting BBs at a chain link fence. That's how small the germ is compared to the holes in that mask on a microscopic level. Another guy, fellow I talked to, a couple people told me this, like a screen door on a submarine. Mm-hmm. And they're lying to people, and that's what I don't like. I don't like liars. I don't like being lied to, and I especially don't like hearing lies when it's to push your political, whatever that is,
especially
agenda.
The governor. Yeah.
And so we're having all these lies, and the fact is 240,000 people, isn't that what they say, have died with COVID?
When?
It's a total lie because they didn't die of COVID.
Right.
And they could die of a heart attack, and if they found out they had COVID, they counted it. It's a big, stinking hoax. COVID is real, and there are people dying, but it's about 10% of the people that they say it is.
Right. Yeah.
And the masks are making people sick.
Right.
Your government is killing you. That's what I'm telling you. Your government is killing you. If you just do whatever your government says, it'll kill you. Yeah, Doug.
It's just like what my brother said. You give me a plate of beans, an hour later there it's ripping through your jeans. Same thing. It's just, that's what that mask is. It's so, that stuff still is so small that it penetrates. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly, just picture that. Chain link fence and shooting BBs at it. How many is that chain link fence going to stop?
None.
Maybe once in a while.
Rarely.
All right, well, let's sing about what we have to do. Keep on the firing line. Beginning verse 1. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die still fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service will not find a place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave. Against all evil, never run or even lag behind. If you could win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use the soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line.
To labor
for the master dear, help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line.
Oh, you must fight,
be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we've had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Hey, good singing. That ought to light your kindling. If it don't, your wood's wet. Here you may.
God forbid.
All right. Joel 1.
I think so.
Joel 1. And I'm going to
have our cameras zoomed into the screen, if you would, please.
Okay.
And then I'll have Johnny, after you zoom in, if you can turn down the lights.
Turn the lights down low.
Turn the lights down low.
Hi, Norma.
Let the coffee, tea, and
my mama on there.
Itself?
Yeah. Zoom on the screen and then turn the lights off. Or Jenny, if you want to turn the lights off.
Yeah, I'll get that.
You know how to do
top
it.
One?
Yeah, the top. And there we go. All right. Now it's still bright enough y'all can see the what's going on, but it's our current events update. That went real quiet on me. That's weird. Let's try it again. So today is Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And today is supposed to be a day for honoring our servicemen, but a lot of that stuff was canceled and virtual, I guess they call it. Somebody was talking about the virtual turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So it's a shame that a lot of our veterans from World War II were down to very few that can even attend these things, and they weren't able to do so. But this is a little tribute to our veterans.
Has long held a historical significance to the United States. Today we celebrate as a federal and state holiday called Veterans Day, but it was first incorporated under a different name. At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, an armistice was signed to end fighting between the Allied nations and Germany. A year later, President Woodrow Wilson declared November 11th as Armistice Day to honor all veterans who served in World War I. People believed this was the war to end all wars, and countries all around the world celebrated lasting peace. In 1954, after both World War II and the Korean War, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed a bill proclaiming November 11th as Veterans Day to honor veterans of all wars. Each year, on November 11th, a national ceremony takes place at the Memorial Amphitheater in Arlington National Cemetery. At 11 a.m., a color guard, representative of all branches of the military, executes Present Arms at the Tomb of the Unknowns. The ceremony continues with the laying of the presidential wreath and the playing of taps. Several veteran service organizations participate in the parade of flags. Veterans Day stands as a day of celebration and remembrance. It is a day for Americans to honor both living and fallen service members for their patriotism and courage in times of war as well as peace. From Washington, I'm Petty Officer Liz Blahos.
And that is what we're told to do in Scripture, Romans 13, 7, after saying that God himself has established the powers that be. We're to submit to government authority as long as they don't tell us to go against God. And I believe also if they tell you to do something to harm yourself, like wearing a stupid mask. But when the government has legitimate laws and they are to be honored and respected, and then it says in Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And we honor living men and women who have served our nation. She said we honor the deceased, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's actually the purpose of Memorial Day. But if you know anybody who's a veteran who served our country, at least thank them. And if there's, you can buy them a cup of coffee or a meal or whatever else you can do.
You risked your life so we could experience freedom. You left your family so we could be with ours. You sacrificed it all for the greater good. You have stood up so that we can have freedom and liberty. You are the heroes of our nation. You have served our country honorably, and we thank you for your sacrifice.
Leviticus 19:32, the Jews were told, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head," that's the people with gray hair, "and honor the face of the old man." And that he added that in case some of us were just bald. But and it says, "And fear thy God, I am the Lord." And as you see the fear of God in this country dissipate, you also see the lack of honor for those who deserve honor. So let the body of Christ, if no one else, let the body of Christ do as God has told us and honor those who deserve the honor. And we're especially thankful for those veterans who love country and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
We appreciate the sacrifice and service of all veterans, but we especially are thankful for those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We will spend eternity with them. Amen. And Proverbs 16:31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness."
Amen.
All right. All God's people say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. You can turn the lights back on if you will. And we'll open with a word of prayer. Yeah. Ask Brother Doug if you would open our study.
We've got to say for this wonderful time that we're together. We're together with the people that are the family here. It's just like I am home with my family.
Amen.
Amen.
Spiritual and everything, but we all have oneness and everything. And I just pray for the vets too, that you know, sacrifice and all. We just thank you, Lord, for it all. Pray that Greg pulled out some nuggets out of the hole there and gives it to us. He studied for a while, and he sacrificed his time to share with us tonight. And, you know, we thank you for that. And we just praise God with that theme of Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Doug.
Sure.
Amen.
All right, Joel 1, and you'll notice I've left the electronic Bible at home, so I'm back to the old-fashioned hard copy. But we worked our way through the first 10 verses and saw Joel's warning in our last study. And as with Hosea, we're going to be talking about things that affect or apply to the United States of America today. Originally, this was a message, though, to, I believe, specifically to the tribe of, or the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. But when not stating something directly to Israel, you will see that these statements apply to people and nations across the board. So we always pay attention to context, of course, but there is a general application many times to these things. I just want to read verses 11 through 15. And we're only going to touch on verse 15 in our study, and then our next study we're going to dedicate it to a look at the day of the Lord.
Amen.
But in this study, let's go from 11 through 15, and I ask you to read the odd verses with me, so that means you start right off at verse 11. "Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, how, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished, the vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. God's people say amen.
Amen.
All right. What we see and have seen already in our previous study in Joel and our entire study of Hosea and many, many other times throughout Scripture. Prosperity will lead to apostasy, which has led to a failed economy in Israel.
Yep.
And looks like it's going to hit the United States of America the same way.
Exactly.
The most prosperous nation in human history, the United States of America, is in apostasy. Very few, probably less than 10% of the churches in this country preach the biblical gospel.
Yep, that's right.
And what we're seeing with COVID and the effects on our economy, folks, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yep, amen.
Especially if they continue with this insane lockdown.
Yep.
And
amen.
People get really emotional about this stuff. Well, you don't care about those people dying. I do care about those people dying. But those people dying are only, from COVID, are only about 10% what your government is telling you.
Yep.
And there are going to be more people die as a result of this depression they're bringing on than has died from COVID.
Yep. Right.
And many, many people, including medical doctors, are telling people this about COVID, and economists are telling people this about COVID, but your news media has a locked statement. They have their marching orders and they have their spin.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And until whoever pays them tells them to say otherwise, they're dedicated to kill this economy.
Right.
And I believe here's a little opinion from me. I mean, most of what I just said I can back up with fact. This is my opinion because I can't really prove this other than by looking at what's going on and making, you know, a reasonable deduction from the evidence. I believe it's on purpose.
Amen.
They want socialism.
Yep.
And the way to bring socialism is, first of all, for 50 years, dumb down everybody in our education system and in our entertainment and everything, so people don't even know what's going on.
Amen.
And then wreck the economy, and the very people wrecking the economy come to the rescue to save you.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
That's exactly what's happened in other socialist countries.
Yep.
And as Christians, we just pray that God gets us out of here.
Yes, Lord. Yeah.
But there's no guarantee, you know. That's why we got to be, you know, ready. We got to be prepared for tough times and difficult times. Yeah, Johnny?
Yeah, just, I made some comparisons to this recently. You know, it's kind of reminiscent of, you know, like a person, you know, committing adultery and thinking that the person, you know, the person who's leaving their spouse to come to you isn't going to turn around and against you too.
Yeah.
They just prove that they're unfaithful.
Yeah.
But you say, oh,
put your faith in someone who's already proven they're unfaithful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
Stupidity.
Yeah, John?
Yeah. We just found out that Ticketmaster, in order to go to one of their events,
Ticketmaster,
you have to have a vaccine,
mm-hmm.
or you have to go a couple of days before and get a test of.
Well,
yeah.
You can't go.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they can put up a sign that says you cannot enter without a mask, they can also put a sign up that says you cannot enter unless you have your papers and show you have a vaccine.
That's where
exactly. Yep. That's what they're going.
That's where we're going.
Yeah. The.
And you can thank as many Rhino Republicans as you can Democrats. These Rhino Republicans like DeWine are just as bad as the Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, if ballots can be faked.
Making those rules are ready to start losing money on it.
Yeah, Janie?
I talked to a couple of friends today when I went over to Menards to get some treats for my cats. And Julia told me that they're thinking about shutting down their, you know, that they're getting ready to shut down again. And she said they might shut Menards down possibly for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And she also informed me that they're pushing the mandatory mask, and this time they mean it. And they said, she also told me that they are going to start doing testing, you know, using the head thermometer thing. Mm-hmm.
Which aren't accurate, by the way.
Yeah, checking people at the door, and they also are going to start drug testing.
And that's why you're facing, that's why be wise if you got a little extra money. Go out and buy some extra food and supplies. Watch, there'll be another run on toilet paper for no reason.
It already is.
Well, Kroger's is there? Already limiting how many paper products you buy.
Yeah.
Just to keep this between us, but you can wipe with Kleenex too.
What?
You can
but
wipe.
That's for your nose.
Yeah, that's what evidently people think because we were at, what was it called, Costco? Totally depleted of toilet paper. Several
pallets
of tissues, face tissues.
Lord.
Like, why are you, it has to be on a roll? I mean, you know, is there a law you can't use Kleenex in the for that purpose if we keep it nice? Anyway, let's get into what, it's related though, I mean, because it is what, prosperity, apostasy, failed economy. That's what you see there in verse 11. Read there again. It says, "Be ye shamed, O ye husbandmen." What's a husbandman? It's not talking about husbands like I am to Jenny. What's a husbandman?
Farmer.
Yeah, and it could be a gardener. That there's also, "How, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and the and for the barley." See, it's an inbuilt dictionary in the King James Bible. What is a husbandman? Well, it tells you he's growing wheat and barley because the harvest of the field is perished. And, of course, what also happened, as we saw last study, was locusts. Well, there ain't a whole lot of difference between what a locust will do to your place compared to an F2 hurricane.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And America has been decimated by hurricanes this year.
And fires,
yes. And you remember, they brought this on themselves.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to go out. I can't prove this. God hasn't spoken through a prophet. He hasn't come to me and told me this. I'm basing, though, my belief on what I see in Scripture. Right. That as America does unto Israel, we have two copies of the book over there. Amen. Documents time after time after the United States of America violates Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And God says the whole reason he's going to come in Revelation 19 and wipe out everything is the main point with God is that they have forced Israel to part their land, which then not only puts Israel in a bad way as far as their security, but it also it puts Israel in a bad way with their own people. And it's caused a lot of problems with their own people. And they... sex slavery is suggested right there in that where they sell a girl for a bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff goes hand in hand. But this point cannot be overemphasized, that they brought it on themselves. God allows free will.
Amen.
Now, if you have a nation of 350 million people, right, 325, I keep hearing different figures. But let's say 325, be conservative about it. You have a nation of 325 million people, and only a minuscule number of those are really living lives that please the Lord. And you're killing, you're murdering babies daily. And if you don't think that abortion is murder, and I'll say this, if you've ever seen an abortion where, and I don't mean, obviously, if you've seen one actually happen, or if you've seen a video of one, but even if you just watch the ultrasound and you watch that baby squirming and fighting for its life,
amen,
and you tell me that that's not murder, come up to me afterwards, call me on the phone, wherever you're at, so that I can tell you that I believe you are a bald-faced liar.
That's right.
It is murder, and any honest person will tell you that.
Yes.
And a lot of these people who are pro-abortion do admit it. They believe, they admit it's killing a baby. They think it's their life. They're right.
Yeah.
And then as I put out a video a couple of days ago, I put out these little five-minute videos for those online. And I just thought of this. It's funny. So I call him Our Daily Greg. Some of you have had the Our Daily Bread things. You know where I got that from. But I explain there. They say, my body, my choice. How stupid is that? A baby in your body is not your body.
That's right.
And that baby is a human being. Killing it is not a choice. It's not a legitimate choice. Then go study Roe v. Wade, how they totally fictitiously made law out of the 14th Amendment.
Yep.
You know how stupid it was? Two of the other Supreme Court reprobates who supported abortion, they argued, no, it's not actually in the 14th Amendment, it's in the 12th Amendment. And they argued about where to find and create this right to murder.
Yep.
Well, when the majority of your nation agrees with that, to kill babies, and the majority of your nation goes along with Sodom, which God wipes out in the book of Genesis, which he condemns in the book of Romans, New Testament. It's not Old Testament. It's throughout the Bible. Well, when your nation is going so far down the road of wickedness that a lot of people don't even get it. They don't even know how wicked they are. They're so reprobate. Well, that's what's going to happen. And the wicked eventually fall into their own pit.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs chapter 11. And in this country, we've had people voting for wicked people. We've had people voting for people who are pro-abortion, people who are pro-socialist, people who are gun confiscators, people who are godless, they support Sodom, on and on it goes. And that's the pit that America is going to fall into.
Yep.
Proverbs 11, verse 5, if you're there, read it with me. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. If you're living in sin here tonight, your days are numbered.
Amen.
You're digging a pit, and you're going to go head first into it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I've experienced it. That is one of the things that helped bring me to my knees in faith to the gospel was the reality that, you know what? Not only in my own life, I look around, I was already seeing it. Seeing it in older people, but seeing it in people my own age.
Yep.
People I knew who chose to live a wicked lifestyle and where they end up with nothing but a mess.
Right.
Some of them dead, some of them in prison,
uh-huh.
Sexually transmitted diseases, children paying child support at the age of 20,
mm-hmm.
and unmarried and so forth. And it's not only true for individuals, it's true for nations. And so look at Psalm 9, just a few pages over. And Psalm 9, 17. If you dare read that. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That covers it right there. It's talking about individuals and nations. Individuals shall be turned into hell, the wicked. And then when a nation is full of the wicked, that nation that forgets God, same thing. And that's where we are with Israel, with Judah, the kingdom of Judah, here back in Joel. And verse 12 says, the vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. That's an interesting thing there. It's not something we give a lot of thought to. But you do realize, as Hebrews says, there is pleasure in sin for a season.
For a season.
As apostasy begins, there is joy in a fleshly human sense but it eventually dies. I mean, you look at these people, every June we have parades in all the major cities where people are just, they look at, I mean, they're smiling, they're happy, they're jubilant, they run around almost naked, in some cases completely naked, declaring their pride in sin. And some of them do it for years. I've been at the bedside of someone rotting from the inside out with AIDS. I've seen a man whose sodomite lover, whatever you want to call him, has bashed his head in.
Oh, gosh.
I've also had a coworker who died when his head was bashed in. And I've seen these things. I can tell you story after story over 30 years where I've seen this. You say, well, that happens with heterosexuals too. Nowhere near at the rate
right.
that it happens in the world of the so-called LGBTQ.
Tell the truth.
When the transgenders cry about how they are so abused and there's so much, they face so much abuse and domestic violence. What they don't tell you is most of it comes from other trans.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Amen. Try it.
But they all started out. I've seen it. I've seen women leave their husbands and look as happy as you could ever see on their face. And it's just like, they'll even tell you, I just feel free.
Uh-huh.
And men who've run off and dumped their wife for a younger model, yeah. I feel alive. Actually, I don't know, I'm just telling you what I've seen, experienced.
It's supposed to make you feel young.
Joy. I've seen people who, when they first start using drugs, they're like, this is amazing. See them 2 or 3 years later, they've lost their teeth, they've lost their hair, they look like they're, you know,
nearly dead.
They're my age, and they look 3 times my age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mother would call it death warmed over.
Death warmed over, yeah. And that's the end game. But when you see it just beginning,
looks good.
It, and that's hard for, even in the psalmist, he'll talk about how the wicked, they look like they're just happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like they're prospering.
You look like something a cat drug in or buried.
30 years, 40 years later sometimes, but eventually that's where it ends up. Look at these Hollywood weirdos, okay? They all, especially with all the help of the makeup and photoshopping and everything, but they all look like gods and goddesses, and that's why they call them stars. There's a reason. And they worship them just like the gods, small g. But every one of them, they end terrible. And they end miserable. How many of them are hanging themselves and blowing their heads off now? Even the young ones. Just this last year, men and women, young men and women, actors and actresses in their early 20s, hanging themselves and blowing their heads off. And listen, this culture, this whole culture, right now with this COVID thing, this lockdown, that's another way the government's going to get people killed. They are going to flip out and be, they're already, the suicide rates are already skyrocketing this year. But it all comes back to, they get away from God and they think, this is wonderful. You can go online, you can see the homosexuals, you can see the ex-Christians, the people who claim to have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember those videos on YouTube? I know you have to remember because we talked about it. These kids who were going and blaspheming the Holy Spirit, or at least that's what they were trying to do. And so just giddy about it, and that, you know, it's just joy. It doesn't end well.
No.
Go back over to Proverbs 2 real quick. Proverbs 2, beginning of verse 10. I'll read while some of you turn there. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Keep thee from what? Read verse 12 with me. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. That's exactly what the people that you surround yourself with, and they will bring you down.
Yeah.
Just
what does that word mean?
That's someone who's very forward, froward, and they're trying to convince you that their way is right, and they know, and they're happy, and just do this, and you'll find out. And I mean, it's just sickening. This week, I'll just generalize it. I did a wedding for a couple, and one of them, the girl left the husband, and just going off the deep end. But you know, it's not an excuse, but it always seems like these women who leave their husbands, professing Christian women who leave their husbands, there's always a friend.
Yeah, that's right.
And women have been convinced in this country that you always have to have a friend. Well, let me tell you something. If you've got the kind of marriage you ought to have, your best friend should be your husband.
Amen.
And then any friend that comes along that begins to in any way pull you away from the Lord or your husband, you immediately tell them to take a hike. But see, Christians have been taught they're supposed to get along with everybody all the time. And if you offend somebody, it's you. That's a sin. And that's hogwash.
Amen.
You're not supposed to offend them needlessly.
Right.
You're not supposed to do things that are just stupid and cause people to be angry at you and that kind of thing. But if someone is trying to, it's like the hiss of the serpent telling you it's okay to eat of that fruit. When someone's doing that with you, you have to have the wisdom and the courage to say, I'm sorry, but this friendship isn't going to work out.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, through the years, there's been people that, you know, hey, let's get together. Hey, let's do this. And I was like, no, thank you, because I know what they're all about.
That's right. Amen.
She's more important.
Amen.
And if starts there, that's right. Yeah.
I venture to say other aspects of that are simply people having an unrealistic view of what marriage is supposed to be and not trying to fix it.
And an unrealistic idea about what's on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
You know why that grass is greener?
More manure.
More manure. Kim, you've been listening. That's exactly right. A lot of people, as soon as they jump over the fence, you know what they hear? But some people jump over and it's solid for a little while, but the more they trek out into that green pasture.
Uh-huh.
Amen, amen.
Stink.
Look at, I didn't finish reading 13 through 15. Read that with me. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Now that's wisdom, which the word is the source of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
And that kind of wisdom leads to discretion that'll keep you from following people like that. Now look at verse 20 and through 22 and read that with me. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
But back to Joel. You can't have the kind of apostasy we're talking about in Israel and we're seeing in America without apostate religion.
Yeah.
Joel 1:13, look at that. Read it with me. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. How, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. You see, what he's saying there is that the priests need to gird themselves and lament. The ministers of the altar need to lie all night in sackcloth because they haven't been doing what they're supposed to do. And they've been doing a lot of things they're not supposed to do. And we'll get into that when we go to Ezekiel. at some point, but you can read it on your own. But wicked nations are, this is a fact, every single time a nation falls, wicked nations are filled with fake ministers.
Amen.
It's a shame.
It's a historical truth that you'll find. The more history you read, the more you'll find that.
Amen.
And you look at the what was behind the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. It had a lot to do with the corrupt Orthodox Church in Russia.
Yep.
What was behind the Nazi takeover in Germany had a lot to do with the apostate Lutheran Church in Germany.
Yep.
What was behind Mussolini taking over Italy with fascism? The Roman Catholic Church.
Amen.
And they also had their hands on Hitler.
Yep.
And on it goes. I can give you example after example that these wicked nations, they end up handed over to dictators and tyrants, and they're always in bed with a religious power, almost every time. I say almost because I haven't studied every time. The ones I've studied, every time.
Yep.
So the Lord responds with what? He calls them to repentance, and he gives them their fair warning. God always warns sinners before he pours it out. Mm-hmm. And every American has access to a King James Bible where they can go read their future.
Amen.
And there are still a few thousand of us preachers in this country preaching the truth.
Amen.
And if they want the truth, they know where they can find it.
That's right.
Look at Joel 1:14 now. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. This is literally a call for a mass gathering at the temple in Jerusalem. And God would have respected that if their heart was right in it, and they did it. But as far as, I want to bring this out right here about us. There are a lot of people calling for Christians to do this kind of thing. You have the National Day of Prayer, and you have rallies that they had one not too long ago in Washington, D.C., yes. I think in October or sometime.
Yep.
But first of all, we don't have a temple. This building isn't a temple. No church building is a temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
And where two or more are gathered in my name, you got a church.
Amen.
But and that's why I say we are the temple. So it's saying to gather into the house of the Lord your God. We can't do that. And we're not told to do that. This is not a call. And some people use this verse. You'll see it used. And this is not a call for American Christians to gather in Washington, D.C. And you want to do that. It's free country. But I'm just going to correct you when you pretend that this verse is telling us to do that. Or that Christians should be doing that. Why? Joel 1:14 makes it clear who we're talking about in this context. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the what?
Land.
Now in the Old Testament, there's only one place called the land.
Israel.
And it's not the United States of America.
Amen.
So the context tells you that. This is Israel. So is there something wrong with calling Americans to such similar events? Don't answer. Don't answer yet. Is there something wrong with calling Americans to such similar events? You would think the answer is just clearly yes, but it's not. Yes, for the following reasons. This is why it's wrong. Every instance I've seen, it's wrong. Now, I've seen people have God and country rallies and that kind of thing, but it's usually just a handful of churches or whatever, and here's why. Here's the problem with issues that biblical issues with mass gatherings like the National Day of Prayer and all that. Number one, it's ecumenical.
Yeah.
What's it mean?
Ecumenical means that you don't have any standards. Mm-hmm. Everybody's welcome.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's got their own way, this and that. And a lot of these you'll see not only the Protestant and the Catholic, but you also see the Muslim and the Buddhist and the Hindu and whatever.
Okay.
Well, again, it's a free country. Do what you want. We're talking about what the Bible says,
right,
okay?
Right.
Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14 and numerous other places, be ye not unequally yoked together with what?
Unbelievers.
Now, I'm sorry. We're not all children of God.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible says that those who believe on him become the sons of God.
Amen.
And we've gone through this in our studies. Some of you may not have heard it, but I showed you the scriptures. Those who are not saved are not the children of God. And if they reject the gospel, they're the children of the devil.
Amen.
That's in John 8:44 for one thing, but it's also in the book of Acts in more than one place. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So if you take somebody who is a Bible-believing Christian and they go to these mass rallies, that person is in sin. They are rejecting this and many other scriptures that say you are not supposed to join hands with unbelievers. And so the guy gets up there and prays in Jesus' name, great. But then you got all these blasphemous other prayers and blasphemous other religions. That's why you've never seen me gather at one of those things. Let me tell you one thing, and I'll call you one other thing. I did go to one back in the 90s. How many of you heard of the Christian Coalition?
Yeah.
Pat Robertson, I think, was head of it at the time.
Yeah, I've heard.
And I was told to stop telling Mormons and Catholics the gospel.
Wow.
Because I was sowing division.
What?
And I wasn't even being confrontational. We were just having a conversation. I was just saying, you know, according to the Bible, the gospel is this, and you're teaching that. So your gospel is not the biblical gospel. And I was basically told I had to shut up or leave, and so I left.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Jessica, did you ask a question?
Yeah. So did I do wrong? Well, I didn't do it then. But when my church, while I was saved, we went to Billy Graham Crusade when he was here in Columbus.
Yeah, we have a one-hour documentary on that, and I would... I discourage anyone from taking part in Billy Graham Crusade for this reason. He has men who reject the biblical gospel on the stage with him.
Really?
And if you go forward at a Billy Graham Crusade and you say, well, I was raised in the United Methodist Church, they don't even look to see if the pastor there even believes the Bible. They just send you to that church. And can be a total liberal, a Bible rejector, doesn't even preach the gospel, but they'll send you there. Mm-hmm. They've sent Catholics, people who are raised Catholic, and then they say they got saved, but then Billy Graham sends them back to their Catholic church where they don't preach the biblical gospel.
Yeah. So was it wrong when I went?
Well, yeah.
Well, but...
I mean, yeah, we all did. I got involved in the one here in Columbus. You're talking about the one where it's Cooper Stadium when it's...
Yeah.
See, that's when I first found out about this. I was involved with the Billy Graham Crusade, and we were told, the first training session, we were told, if a Catholic comes forward, you don't try to get them to go to another church.
Huh.
Yep.
I'm like, see ya. And I was shocked. I was a young Christian at that time. I was very shocked. And then through the years, I've become more aware of Billy Graham's issues and everything. And again, I've always started, it doesn't mean no one gets saved at the Billy Graham Crusades. But you know what? I could start kidnapping people and dangling off the top of what's the name of the big building downtown, the Rhodes Tower. You know, get saved, repent. Oh, okay, I'll repent. Okay, praise the Lord. That doesn't mean it's right. The guy, you don't even know if he really meant it or not. Same thing sadly happens in some of these big crusades. People go forward because they're kind of star, you know, struck and everything.
Like
Well, no, it was wrong. Well, wrong is wrong, but it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell for it or anything. It's just a lot of times we do things that are wrong, and then when we're told that it was when you find out it's wrong, what do?
You don't do it again.
You say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was wrong. I won't do it anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's how we see this with God.
That's what I did.
As
I'm leaving the Billy Graham training session. I think, Lord, I had no idea that was what going in there. I'm sorry, I won't go back.
Amen.
That's all you do. God's not mad at you. I mean, unless you refuse to repent and you keep doing something you know is wrong.
Absolutely.
Now, see, that goes with something else. I know. There are things that I know I do that are right.
Everybody
does. And I say, I'm sorry, Lord, but I do them again.
You know what'll happen? You got to stop, or you're going to pay the consequences.
Get whooped.
It'll get you. Uh-huh. And that's all I can tell you. I love you, and I'll tell you the truth. If I was committing a sin, I'd say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, and then next week I go back and do the same thing. It's a, his patience will, he's very long-suffering.
Amen.
He's very patient. But he'll let you just suffer the consequences eventually. And
Paul said he did.
Hey, folks, and that's what's wrong with the churches today. The reason all you go to these churches that you, 20 years ago were stalwarts for the gospel and taking a stand, they're all just mush and useless. Why? Because they wouldn't listen when people called them to account for their compromise. And that's what's happened with Israel. We're studying here in Joel. That's exactly what happened. The prophets are saying, it's wrong. Everybody says, shut up. You're such a downer. We're having a good time over here. Look at our crowd. We've got all the people.
And the money.
Yeah. Well, blow it out your ear. I don't want anything to do with it.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to stick with the book. Glad to have some people with me. Amen. Don't you feel that way? You're going to stick with the book, but you're glad to have some people with you?
Yes.
What if we all walk out on you? That's supposed to be the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doug?
I went to one of those, what do they call it, that prophecy for
them? Mm-hmm.
That was another mistake.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal was about them.
But what did Doug and I do? We went. But then when we saw what was wrong, we're like, okay, Lord, ain't doing that again.
We're out of here.
You know, that's all you do. So the second thing, I'm going to move, got to get moving here. The second thing is, issue with mass gatherings is that they're pharisaical. Whole lot of show going on. A whole lot of, it's, folks, we're not supposed to do that. You know, I call on fellas to pray out loud. There's nothing wrong with praying out loud, but when you're putting on a show.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in churches where they do, oh Lord, we thank thee for thy bounty, and we so declare that, you know, and all this stuff. It's just a big show.
Yeah.
And Matthew 6:5, Jesus said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the stadiums and in Washington, D.C., that they may be seen of men. It says they love to pray stand in the synagogues in the corner of the streets, and that's the same thing. That they may be seen of men. See, verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Amen.
You know, a lot of these guys when they pray, they're not actually praying; they're reading a speech.
That's true.
They're not even really praying. And the third is it's disingenuous.
Amen.
I was so disappointed in my early Christian walk to go to these big gatherings. And I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I just try to be transparent with you. You're going to think it's crazy. A couple of you heard this before. I went to one Christian contemporary concert that wasn't filled with hypocrites.
Yeah.
The others I went to, they'd be cussing, making out, and, you know, smoking pot, all kinds of things going on outside of the concert. The one that didn't, it was Huntington, West Virginia, Sandy Patty. I went to a Sandy Patty. I didn't never have liked her music. But I had a friend who said, you ought to come, you'll enjoy it. I wanted some good Christian fellowship, so I went. You know what? Her concert was fabulous. I mean, some people say, oh, you should, you know, because she's kind of been in some issues. She's had some issues, like a lot of other people. So, you know, we all have our issues. I try not to be too hard on people. But I'll tell you this, that was the only contemporary concert I went to where I felt like I was around Christians both in and outside of the building.
Well, praise the Lord.
And it was wonderful. There's about 15,000 people there. And they were singing, she said, I don't always do this in my concerts, but I just want to do this tonight. She started singing a cappella hymns. And when that plays, 15,000 people singing, How Great Thou Art. I thought the rapture's got to be about to happen. This is just, you know, I'm ready to go. But Jesus said this in Matthew 15:8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what I experienced in those mass concerts. I've gone to churches, and I'm not going to name names, but I could name names of the big churches.
Yep.
Hundreds of people, a couple of them 1,000, 1,500 people.
Yep.
Oh, they get up there and it's, oh, and the rock band playing. And oh. And then you walk outside the building and you just figure you're just some rock concert.
Boring. Yep.
Well, the language and the way they acted and the carnality and all that, it's just a, it's a sign of bad things.
Yeah, it's not good.
Now, we obviously do not oppose individuals or groups crying unto the Lord when it's done biblically.
Yeah.
And I've had people come to me these things. I've had them come into the building right here and say, hey, we'd like for you to be a part of this or that. And then, like, I'm sorry. I just, you know. I mean, I look at it. I make sure it's what type of thing. And I tell them, I said, it could be, I'm just honest with you. I don't think this is biblical. You're being way too accurate. Well, you know, you got to have numbers. I mean, numbers is the thing. You got to have, and if you're going to have numbers, then you got to have, you know, now you don't.
Yeah.
Me and Jesus, that's the numbers I want.
Amen.
And anybody else who comes along, amen. Jesus and me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You should do that.
Amen.
If you have sinned, you should call, or as our text says, cry unto the Lord. And he will hear you and cleanse you. But that begins with belief in the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And that's where the blood washes. What do you mean? Well, in the eyes of God, he will now look at you and see his son Jesus.
Amen. Praise.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the eternal standing you have. Now, in you can then commit sin and hurt your relationship, daily walk with the Lord. That's what he's waiting for. All you do then is turn and confess that sin, and he will forgive you.
Amen.
And you can be restored. Amen. Then, if enough individuals get right with God, nations get right with God.
Amen.
Mass rallies, not the answer. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've watched it for 30 years as a Christian. The answer, if you read the history books, is when individuals get right with God.
That's right.
And they turn around and start preaching the gospel, and more individuals get right with God. And eventually, if enough people get right with God, you will see your nation change. No shortcuts, though. That's the only way. So we closed in verse 15, and we're going to come back to this next week. Read verse 15 with me. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. The day of the Lord is a period of judgment and wrath that results in his will being done. What's his will? His will is that those who will repent and believe the gospel will not perish.
Amen.
Those who will not repent, he will destroy.
Yep.
That's right.
And that's just the bottom line. That's where it's going. That's where this whole thing's heading, folks. And that's how it's going to end. Reality check. Now, Judah would be taken captive, and God's will was accomplished. We're going to see that as we continue our study. That's where it's going to end. And we'll get into the day of the Lord in our next study.
Amen.
So we have the musicians come forward. We're going to close with a song.
Yay.
But to each of you here and watching online or wherever, you need to just deal with this fact. You can't fix your nation wherever it is you live. Katie down in Australia sent us a video where they're going to force the parents to send their kids to the schools. They're going to give them all barcode, and if they have COVID, they're going to take that child away from the parents and put it in
isolation
until they're over COVID.
Oh my Lord.
Wow.
That's when the government thinks they own your children, and that's where we're heading in America.
Yeah.
Yep. It's on the law here already.
And if you go from nation to nation, you'll find a lot of nations already like that.
Yep.
And here in America, wherever you are, you can't fix your nation. God didn't call you to do that. God called you to preach the gospel to every creature. And then the thing about nations, That's up to the nation. God allows them to make their choices. But you can let God fix you. You can be, right now, you can choose to either be a part of the problem or not part of the problem. If you get saved and you live for the Lord the way you ought to, you will not be part of the problem. But if you reject Jesus Christ, or if you profess Jesus and live like the world or the devil, you're part of the problem. And that's really all it comes down to. Page 7 is the song we're going to sing.
Page 7. Page 7.
This is song is about how God can fix you. It's not politics. It's not elections. You can't buy it. You can't do works for it. You go to Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Days are filled with sorrow.
At bbfohio@protonmail.com. Any of you folks here got your prayer requests ready? Bring them on down.
All right, onlighters.
And we'll say goodbye on 3, 1, 2, 3. See you here, there, or